Previously on the Dice of Thunder podcast.
Sprites recognize me as a powerful hero.
Well, duh.
You guys are on your way back to Alkenstar.
Yep. Definitely took a leche to go.
Yes. 45 gold for a to-go cup.
45 gold?
I'm making this up as I go, friend.
I don't want to know how much I paid for the other ones.
Good thing we're losing customers. Germ, you're like really irresponsible right now.
I'm not the one with the business acumen.
That's right. I'm the businessman.
Okay, bye.
Wait, I only got 3 leads. There's 4. I got Muglin. Oh, I got
take better notes.
Amulet, and we got Rebecca in Dead Man's Alley.
Yeah. There was one about missing people, just in general. The first clue I gave you. So you're standing at the door of I-1, apartment I-1. What do you do?
Check for traps.
Fireball.
Varg opens the door.
The door is locked.
Fireball.
This is how it's done, everyone.
Ninja Kiki.
You push open the door and you see the apartment of Shoma Lysirius. You can see, seated at the table here, one tiny halfling man in a tattered formal outfit. So you finally found me, Shumfollow 5.
What happened with your deal with Loveless?
Oh, I suppose I should tell you. You can always roll a diplomacy check. You guys have been chatting him up. Roll a diplomacy check.
Let's go.
Can I aid that?
Yes.
Natural 20.
Oh,
plus 19.
Muglin on our team.
Listen here, Muglin.
Wait, now 20.
Two natural 20s?
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Oh my gosh.
I rolled a 27.
I rolled a 28.
Which is 2 critical successes to aid.
I don't even know. I just wanted to make an extra few thousand coins and squeeze it out of the local population and then never look back. This hellhole. I don't belong here. Look at me. I'm fancy. Or at least, no, I used to be.
And Varg pushes him over the edge.
Oh, what?
Are you serious?
Yes. I think we might have needed him a little bit longer.
We needed a, like, signed affidavit first.
You know what? We're going to have to wait to find out what happens till next week. Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Dice of Thunder podcast, where we have finally figured out second edition's multi-class rules. How about that?
When did that happen?
I know, it's been 95 episodes, and now we get it.
I didn't know we like passed the finish line on that one.
I'm gonna say that it's passed. At level 9, your guys' level up was so quick, they did it between recording sessions in 15 minutes.
That's true. Mm.
I was impressed. I'm impressed.
I had to read really fast on some of that.
Some hasty decisions were made.
Yeah, and you guys are starting to get to the beginning of high-level play, which is insane. The powers that you're gaining, the spells you have access to...
are legit.
I mean, it just keeps going up from here. But you're 5th-level spell casting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany's over here, like, putting limbs on... Yeah. Other limbs.
Yeah. Wall of flesh.
It's pretty gross.
Ball's making wall of flesh.
Which, gross. Well, that's like a boss in some video games.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It is.
Flesh cube.
He's the boss now.
It's both of their spells are something out of Silent Hill.
Yeah. Right.
It's gross.
Pretty gross. I can't wait to use it.
When you guys start getting up into like 7 and 8 level spell territory, oh man.
Forget about it. It's
crazy how, like, I've spent so much time reading the lower level spells that one, now that I'm getting exposure to some of the higher level ones, they're shifting in their coolness, but then also they're narrowing their focus a little bit more and everything is awesome.
Yeah.
So it's hard to like pick the lower level ones. You're like, oh, there's a bunch of throwaway spells. Who cares? Like, when am I ever going to use something like that? Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time with the higher level spells, like actually deciding because so many are awesome.
What kind of spells are you 3 not using? Like that you just never touch?
I'm curious.
That's a great question.
The mental stuff. I'm not using a lot of mental spells.
A lot of the druid spells, like the nature-oriented spells?
You
there's
the,
no nature.
What are some examples? I'm curious.
Are you talking about the ones we have and are not casting, or the ones we didn't choose?
That you have and are not casting.
Like talk to animals.
I don't use a lot. I mean, because of our adventure path, I'm a psychic. I was given a ton of mental ones, found out they're pretty much useless. I never use chill touch.
Okay.
Ever. Chill touch, because you have to be next to them, and it's for undead. Until I'm next to an undead creature.
Specifically for undead.
Well, you're just you're siphoning negative energy into yourself and touching. You can do it on living or undead, but it makes undead creatures run and it hurts living.
Hmm.
But it's just a touch cantrip. So that's why I don't usually use it. Because if I'm next to somebody, I'm going to stab them with my flissa.
Luton has it pretty rough, because as a druid, their spellcasting list, they have access to all of it. They don't pick a spell that they learn. Whenever they rest, they can go through their entire spell library and pick different things.
Because they're a prepared caster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're prepared caster from a divine, or in this case, a nature-based source of power. So like a cleric, they have access to their entire spell library.
Yeah.
Whereas a wizard, which is also a prepared spellcaster, can only read from the knowledge that they've already gained, or a magus in Kairos's case.
Mm-hmm.
They read a spell book and they pick from their library of knowledge, whereas druids and clerics have all knowledge at all times and just a limited ability to cast it throughout the day.
I much prefer spontaneous spellcasters, personally.
Me too. I'm a fan of how simple it is to be a spontaneous spellcaster. So the oracle, the sorcerer, the psychic, they're all spontaneous spellcasters.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I live more in the sorcerer side of the spellcasting, but I still use a lot of druid spells. I mean, Misty Memory, I'm trying to use that every chance I get.
Which has been really fun.
Protector trees come in really handy a lot of times. All my heal spells are on the druid side. And then summon creatures.
Yeah.
So.
A lot of creature summoning.
Other Luton.
That was really fancy.
Other Luton.
Yeah.
I screwed that one up. The way that spell casting works for summoned creatures is you summon them at the spell level. So when you're casting a level 5 summon creature, you're summoning a level 5 creature.
Yeah.
Basically what could have been is a meta magic feat that alters the summon creature spell. And in the text description of the feat, it says that you summon an alternate version of yourself at spell level -1.
Oh.
So she should be summoning, that should have been a level 3 version of Luton that was summoned. The good news is she didn't use anything more than level 3 spells when she's attacking.
Okay, that's
good. So we don't have a retcon or anything, but it's more of like,
just a note.
We have to clone Luton in Hero Lab and make a lower level version of her for when the next time Brittany uses that, because now that she's got these wild access to a bunch of different spells, I have to make sure that the clone's hit points and the spell library are all correct.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we did it right with the two actions. I love these little technical Pathfinder discussions. Pathfinder, as everybody knows, has a decent amount of rules.
But good rules.
Yeah. I don't really have any complaints against that, because no one's expected to memorize all these rules, but they're all there to look up and they're all free to access. So you can just look something up as it comes up, right?
Yeah.
The thing that's been getting me lately as we get into these higher levels is things like DC 26 and then having to do the math to do all these rolls. And you're like, what's your total? 38. Oh, great. How much damage are you doing? 12d6. Oh, have fun rolling that forever.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in 15 minutes.
Yep.
So those higher level things, as they scale upward, the math does continue to scale upward. Yeah. Once you get into adding multiple double digit numbers, it can get a little taxing.
Yeah. Put that 17 in there and I'm in trouble.
Right. Yeah. 17. That's not a real number. It's my favorite math problem. What's 51 divided by 17? And people are like, you can't do that. I'm like, it's 3.
Yeah. I only know that because you've said that before.
Yeah.
3. And I learned something
today. Which is a nice number that everyone knows.
Yeah.
And it's a magic number. I looked at my contract and math is not in there.
Yeah.
Mine either.
So we need to talk.
You have some moments where math just comes naturally and everybody goes, is that right? And we spend like 2 minutes debating it. And you're always like, great, thanks. Love having my math challenged.
I'm not a math guy.
So you have your moments where it's perfect.
I'm a feelings guy.
Mm.
You know? How are you feeling then?
I'm feeling great. I'm feeling really worried about where we left off
last. How is everybody other than Jordan feeling? Because I don't really care what he feels after that. Yeah.
Wow.
You have put everyone on their heels.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm going to play that card.
To be fair, that is something Varg would do.
Yeah.
Is he playing his character?
Him?
No, yeah. I'm saying he's playing his character as, you know, his character would
completely.
Thank you, Brittany.
For the record, we all left that encounter with Muglin the first time being like, we will never let a bad guy escape again.
Right.
Yeah. That is really what we landed on. So makes sense why Varg would do this.
As we soft transition back into the Dice of Thunder podcast here, and we actually roll some dice. Do you guys remember the attitude track?
Yes.
There's five steps on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it starts at the top with helpful. And that's an NPC that is going to try to benefit you in some way.
Yeah. Pay attention, Jordan.
Yep, right?
Oh, okay.
Then it goes down to friendly.
Yeah.
Right? And friendly is just somebody who's friendly toward you. They may or may not help you. Depends on whether or not it's mutually beneficial. But they're not going to be opposed to you talking to you. So, like, Phoebe, Gattleby, Kosawana, those are helpful people.
Yeah.
But, like, Glaz, he's just friendly towards you.
Yeah.
Right? He loves you guys and will help you, but maybe he won't, you know?
Right.
But
I mean, he's pretty quick to respond to who to who.
Yeah, exactly. It's a magical ability.
Seems.
What's the next step on the track?
The next step as we keep going down is neutral.
No, I mean the other way.
Oh, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Right. So as you get angrier and that's what you mean, right? You want to, or there's nothing past helpful.
That's what I'm saying.
Like marriage.
Helpful's where's the minion track?
Yeah.
Where's the first? I'm trying to command an army over here. I'm trying to put together.
What are you talking about? We got to fight Loveless.
Anyone?
Oh, sure, yeah.
All of our.
No, they all fall in that track somewhere. So then it's neutral, which is just a common person you meet on the street.
I just like more than helpful, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Soul committed. Like, what are you looking for here?
Loyal.
Helpful and loyal are tied together. You'd have to do something to reduce someone's attitude toward you down past friendly for them to not, you know, be loyal, especially if you have history. Anyway,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
neutral's next, pretty standard. Then it goes into unfriendly, and that's somebody who's just sort of genuinely surly towards you and doesn't care about your motives. You're in their way.
Yeah,
right. That's unfriendly. And then there's hostile, and a hostile person is actively trying to come against you, hurt you, or forward their cause despite you.
Yeah,
right. So they may not necessarily be bad, but they could still be hostile towards you, like a cleric who doesn't like you very much might be hostile, not interested in helping you forward your cause in any way, but isn't going to attack you outright.
Yeah.
So where do you think Muglin was on that track before you guys showed up today?
Was.
Before we showed up?
Yeah.
Or before we shoved him?
Before you showed up at Shomal Izirius' house and you're on your way to see Muglin, where was Muglin? Baseline towards the Shumfall of Five before you showed up?
To me, it felt very neutral.
Okay.
Like, I think he was neutral when we showed up based on his life circumstances after, like, when we first met him, obviously hostile. But after all the stuff that had happened, I think he'd kind of given up and he's just neutral and kind of apathetic.
What do you think, Duval?
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down with neutral.
Neutral,
Jordan? He sort of said so.
I was thinking the same.
I think unfriendly.
Unfriendly? He was hostile.
Oh, he's still hostile.
Yes, of course. And if he could have killed you, he would have.
Yeah. But the way he was talking to us felt neutral.
He felt
because he gave good information.
I mean, he's a manipulative person.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my job
by
making you feel as though.
Yeah.
For the record, I wanted to put an arrow in between his eyes.
That's good. And maybe you should have just led with that. But when you guys rolled that really awesome diplomacy check to raise his attitude, it just went from hostile to unfriendly.
Mm.
So he's not your best friend yet, which is makes sense as to why Varg would still get the impression that he wasn't going to be helpful, because that was correct. So I just want Vargas to keep that.
Was just tired of waiting for him to like say something.
I just want to keep that like attitude track in the back of everybody's mind. Should always be thinking about that as you encounter an NPC anyway. Like where do they fall on the attitude track?
How do we know that?
You can ask.
Oh, we can ask you and you'll tell us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And it might take a role to identify that. Maybe they're trying to conceal their attitude towards you. And I'll know all those things too in the background. But you would just get the impression that of a attitude. Towards you.
It's the impression that I get.
I don't know if I should talk about this now or maybe after we wait until after we see what happens.
Is it an in-character thing?
It's not an in-character thing. I just wanted to provide some insight into my decision to do this and why I thought Varg would do this. Because I talked to, I think, it might have just been you and Brittany. So Scott and Brittany after last recording.
Oh, sure. Where Brittany was like, you're not welcome at our house anymore.
So I thought the Thunder Buddies might be curious too, but we can wait until we
see what happens. Let's hear it.
Yes.
So my thinking was after the fateful day that we allowed, and I'm going to own it, that we allowed.
I hate everything about what you're saying.
I know. That we allowed this felonious knave to escape.
This is all I've ever wanted.
I was very upset with myself. But I'm also thinking.
For weeks.
Yes. Yeah. And because you wouldn't let us live it down.
Nope.
But I was also thinking from Varg's perspective, he would have been very disappointed in himself too. And also just really angry. So, Greg, you brought up the point that we have been saying since we let him go that we're not going to let a bad guy escape again. We're not going to waste that kind of time. So when we started speaking with this little scamp, I'd imagine like Varg being confused and frustrated that we're even trying to negotiate. This man has hurt his clan, has messed with them from the get-go.
He's ridiculed them.
And he has, ridiculed them. Absolutely. And he has done irreparable harm to Alkenstar. Not that that's necessarily where Varg's loyalties lie, but it's mainly with his clan. But anyway, he's letting his companions go down this track of trying to like win him over, trying to use him to help accomplish our goals, maybe help the city. And we're just getting pushback and pushback and pushback. And this little scamp is not budging. And so Varg just loses his patience and he reacts and enough of this. We gave you at least two chances. And I also want to reiterate that Varg is a young Kolo. He's only 19.
He's a hothead.
He is a hothead. So, yeah, this is... So that was my train of thought.
That explains the
punt.
Yeah.
Well, as...
Prepare to be yeeted.
As a GM, I have no problems with the decision you made.
Yeah.
It does create an interesting interaction between the four of you.
That does. Absolutely.
One of the people in your party has done something that the other majority of you do not agree with.
Right. So we're not expecting.
And no one was expecting. So as a GM, and I'm going to put on a little GM clinic as we transition into this. We're not a whatever podcast.
Nailed it.
What kind of insurance do they take at the GM clinic?
Yeah. What kind of insurance do they take?
Yeah.
Oh, we accept all kinds of insurance.
Okay. Good.
Cook.
You as a GM are now tasked with navigating this very polarizing moment in this story because I didn't want Muglin to be kicked off that cliff either as like a person and a fan of our story, but the foot has been put in his chest.
Yeet's gonna yeet, baby.
He wasn't even supposed to be there. You
gotta roll with it. Yeah. No. And as we get through this, I'll divulge one last little look behind the scenes, but
supposed to be dead.
You gotta figure out how to resolve this. So from a GM's perspective, here's what I would like to do. I would like to put all of you in initiative order. And in this case, we're going to use Varg's athletics check that he rolled, which was a 19 for a total of 38.
Oh my gosh.
As his initiative.
I forgot it was so high.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being a crit.
The three of you, it's reflex. Your reflex modifier will be what you add to your d20 roll. So you're all basically rolling a reflex save, but it's to put you in an initiative to determine how you're going to resolve this.
This is really cool.
This is interesting. I had a plan.
Yeah, everybody had a plan. Everybody had a plan. All three of you had a plan for how you were going to do this. You were going to push Varg off the cliff too and say you better save him before you hit the bottom. You know, don't. Some kind of idea was cooking in all three of your minds. Yeah. And instead of figuring out, well, how would I resolve that and arbitrate this? We're going to do what we always do.
Let the dice decide.
Also, with a little bit of like, a little bit of sprinkling, how good is your character at things? So I think this is probably the most fair way to resolve this.
I 100%
agree. Okay.
And I've been thinking about it for a while, a solid week, like trying to navigate this because I want you all to walk away. No, it's a week in the put on the veil of the performance.
My bad.
It's been a whole week.
We just recorded. Yeah,
it's been 3 days. But it has been on my mind for 3 straight days of how are we going to navigate this.
Yeah.
And this was the best thing that I could come up with, it where all of you walk away from the situation thinking, okay, it's as fair as it could have been for the moment. So go ahead and roll, and let's see what you guys get on your reflex saves as an initiative modifier.
This is going to be the very first roll with a brand new die.
Oh, yes.
That I got.
Brittany got all the guys' Father's Day dice.
I didn't even pre-roll this.
Wow. This is his first roll?
Yeah. You want the number?
I do.
31.
What?
Total. Nice.
What'd you get on the die?
11.
Oh, okay. All right.
My reflex is a plus 20. Mid. I like 11s.
All right. Kairos, what did you get?
24.
24. Indicative of Kairos's often thoughtful... He's in his head a lot. He's a thinker.
Yeah.
All right, Luton. Is it going to be a Luton saves the day moment?
No.
Uh-oh.
26.
Oh, 26.
Straight up says no.
I'm going last.
Okay. So what this means then is Varg's push will lead initiative.
Yes, it will.
If we follow the rules of physics and yada yada, a human body falls at a rate of 32.2 feet per second.
Ooh. Nerd.
In a round, yeah. Actually, it accelerates.
What was I say? Up to that rate. Right?
No, it gets faster and faster and faster.
But he's half of a human body, so
exactly.
Shouldn't you cut that in half?
Yeah.
So what we're gonna say is that after the round, because all these things happen simultaneously, Muglin's movement will be 30 feet down after this round resolves. So anything that you guys have in your mind, you need to keep in mind that he will be 30 feet away from you after Varg's push, which is successful.
Yeah.
Was a critical success against Muglin's fortitude DC. It is 400 or more feet to the bottom of these hellside cliffs from where you're at.
Yep.
And falling damage means you take half the distance that you fell in feet as straight damage. No save.
No roll either.
Nope. So this is 200 feet damage upon landing, unless you have something that halves the amount of damage that you receive when you fall. Does Muglin have that?
No.
Maybe.
He's not a kid.
Does he have 200 hit points?
No. Definitely not.
So there's a lot of questions here.
How many feet away is he from us again?
Oh, if you look at the map, he's right on the edge of the...
So when he got shoved,
though... He'll just be 30 feet down.
Question. Perfect. Critical success...
No, we're not splitting that hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
No, he's past the edge. He cannot make a save to catch himself because of the critical success. We'll say that.
Cool.
Because I only have 15 feet of map.
Let's do this.
It's a ribbon of map here that is the edge of this platform. Varg, technically you have a couple other actions left.
He starts waving.
I yield the rest of my time.
Okay. That brings us to Darnayru.
Okay, so Darnayru didn't want... I've been thinking about this, too, what I wanted to do. Darnayru didn't want to see Muglin go over the edge. He still thought that there's more information to get from Muglin. But at this point, there is literally nothing he could do. But what I picture would happen is he would step forward and, like, lunge at the edge to try to reach for Muglin as, like, an attempt to catch him. But if he's falling right after that shove, there's no way. It's just it's completely out of Darnayru's grasp. But in this moment, he lunges forward, but all of a sudden, it's like time slows down, you know, like mega slow motion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys wouldn't see this because you're behind Darnayru, but his eyes go straight white, and this deep memory just flashes through his mind all in an instant. Back when Darnayru was traveling around, he came to the city of Kasai, and he met another catfolk there, another Amaran. And this Amaran, her name was Shix. Mm-hmm. It was a female Amaran.
Excuse me?
Shix. Yes. You're Gazentite.
It's not Shisk cultural appropriation.
It's not Shisk. It's Shix.
Just making sure.
Yeah. So he met this other catfolk, and he had been traveling alone because this is part of his just venture across the world as a young adult. It's rare to find another Amaran there in Kasai, and so they partnered up, realizing that she was actually an expert pickpocket. And so they had kind of banded together and would go around, and I was the lock picker, and she was the pocket picker. So they had this kind of team thing going on, and so they just go around and be thieves in the city. And they found this big mansion up on the side of a cliff that went over to like a valley where it's rocks down at the bottom, and then it goes off into just grassland. And they come up with this grand plan to break into this place and rob this place, and they get caught while they're there. And so they make their way up onto the roof. And as they're up there trying to find a way to escape, they're on the edge. The guards pull out their crossbows and start shooting. As a bolt is flying towards Darnayru, Shix pushes Darnayru out of the way and catches that bolt in her shoulder.
Whoa.
Which makes her turn towards the edge of the house. And she starts falling off. And Darnayru lunges as quick as he can, but it's just outside of her grasp. And she falls all the way down this rocky ground, and he's hanging over the edge looking down and sees no movement at all. She's got this crossbow bolt in her body, and she's just laying there not moving. This whole memory of this moment where he had this, he thought, a lifelong friend gone in an instant, at just right outside of his grasp, he misses her, and she falls down to her death. That whole scene just flashes before his eyes, and because he has the guilt of this just looming in his head, and then his eyes go back to normal, and he's staring and looking at Muglin just go out of reach.
Wow.
And he can't do anything.
All this trauma is now attached to Varg's actions.
Thanks, Varg.
Varg doesn't know
any of this.
Yeah.
Wow. Nobody knows, because Darnayru doesn't tell people this stuff. He keeps it inside. So this, all of this process
is
instant.
So now you
all
have to pretend like you never heard that.
Heard what?
Exactly. How many times did she bounce before she died?
No, it was splat.
Oh.
It was like pancake.
That's intense. That's for dark. Him. Darnayru is stupefied 4.
Stupefied 4, I like
as
it.
As a result of that.
Wow.
That makes perfect sense to me.
And now I can do that whenever I want.
Whenever I have a PTSD flare.
Darnayru's PTSD activates.
Shouldn't have told him that.
Would you like to take any other actions? Move forward and try to interact?
It. Nope, that's the only action, just the move action and then being stupefied.
Well, that brings us to Luton.
So I've thought about this too. My first thought was, so Luton shares Varg's anger for Muglin, and so she looks over and
fires a lightning bolt at him as he's falling. Just in case you don't die when you hit the ground.
She's kind of like, Varg, no! Because she knows that we can still use him, you know, to accomplish our goals here. So I've been thinking about casting Wall of Water. The problem is Wall of Water is a 3-action spell.
That's right.
And so if I casted it from where I'm where Luton is standing, basically I'd just be pushing him faster.
Well, what's
down
does,
to does the water.
Does water have a range?
Yeah, increment? It's 120 feet.
Whoa. So you can start building the wall of water within 120 feet of you.
Can I? But it doesn't say that I can like manipulate the direction.
Yeah, absolutely. It says you can create within 120 foot range of the spell. You can then create 30 feet of water. Is that, or is it 60?
60 long, 10 feet high, 5 feet thick.
So wherever that starts, and any square that contains it must be within that 120 foot range from you.
My thought is to cast Wall of Water in a way that it engulfs Muglin and pushes him, because he's falling down the side of these apartments.
It's falling straight down.
Which means there's balconies.
Yes, every
along
there's multiple
the way
levels
down,
all the way
right?
down. Absolutely.
To like push him into
okay.
one of the balconies below. So he doesn't, like a water slide. Yeah. My other thought was, since I can now fly and I have 20 feet of flight speed, to fly out over the water and then cast hydraulic push, which I can do because that's only 2 actions.
You can do either one of these 2 things.
The hydro, I mean,
he'll take some damage.
Less than 200.
Yeah.
Is the hydraulic push a guaranteed hit to a falling?
No.
It's
no.
a roll to hit?
You still got a roll to hit.
So I'm thinking.
I'm nervous about the wall of water because it says to get crunchy, the wall is upright in a straight line. So it would only be 10 feet He would be falling straight through 10 feet of water. So would that stop him enough? I don't know.
I don't know. That's where the mechanics are.
That might be only when it's on the ground, right? It could be in the air is different.
I think that it would be fine to manipulate it.
She's a water spray.
I'm a water spray. I'm using a greater staff of water to cast this. I already agreed. So I think that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
We still need him, Varg. And then I'm going to use my staff and cast three action wall of water. So if I cast it to right below where he is.
Yep, sure. And 50 feet away or whatever so that it can. Okay.
That's awesome. This is
so that clutch. You're pushing a wall of water in towards Mugland.
Right.
And he's basically going to splash into it because it's also 5 foot wide, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's wide enough that it would catch him.
Right.
Okay. Let me. Now I'm going to read Wall of Water. This is.
It reminds me of. I just finished playing Ocarina of Time recently, and the Water Temple boss has like the like the shaped water, and it's got its little eyeball brain thing in it. That's what it reminds me of. You catch him in like a tube of water.
You don't have hydrokinesis, which is.
Which I should.
That's
have
like that. Water manipulation. You're water bending.
Yeah,
basically,
water bending.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like a kineticist. However, there are rules on how you pass through a wall of water.
Like if I'm casting it and he's just going to pass through it, that's not helpful.
A creature traversing the wall of water needs to swim through it. The rules of aquatic combat apply to creatures traversing the wall of water, targeting creatures within the wall, or passing through the wall.
Gotcha.
For instance, a bludgeoning or slashing melee attack targeting a creature in the wall would take a -2 circumstance penalty, as if you were fighting while submerged. The trick with the way that this is written is says right here that a creature traversing the wall of water needs to swim through.
If he's about to die, I feel like...
The way that you described it, you're going down a couple levels, you're drawing a line of water back towards the Hellfallen Cliffs.
Yeah.
And he's going to land in that and splash into it.
Yeah.
And then would need to swim through it.
Yeah.
It's not going to continue falling because he's
in
water.
The water.
Right.
10 foot deep.
So it would catch him.
Mugland splashes down in the wall of water and surfaces.
Swim your buns!
And is obviously has a moment where he's completely confused and then swims in toward the...
Luden, you've done it!
The deck below.
Swims
right,
in the, toward the level below, yeah.
And, oh my gosh.
And he's saved. And
whoa!
Luden, and Luden gets a hero point.
Yay!
Yeah!
That was awesome.
And Varg... You just say, rats, foiled again.
So,
but Luton's rats. Character, you know, sympathizes with Varg and understands why he would. Luton's not angry about the push.
I'll let you guys resolve your interpersonal conflict. You hear from the level below,
confounded, Shumfall of Five.
Now we got to
you're trying to kill me.
So no. There was no role necessary?
No, she used three actions. She burned a spell.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's not a roll spell.
That's a huge expense to burn three charges off the staff.
That's awesome.
So, Duval, does Kairos want to do anything here?
I mean, no, because he's on the level below us, right?
So you guys are out of initiative, and he is on the level below you if you scamper down there. Do we have a scamper music?
I just couldn't think of the song. Ah.
You guys scamper down there, and he's there just kind of choking and coughing a little bit. And is that really necessary?
I don't think we...
Hold on.
Okay.
Let me back up. So in this moment, you guys don't react at all?
No, I mean, I didn't know if you were going to react because we did react to what you said or what you did. You did something. We all tried to stop it. So I figure you would be the next person to be like...
Yeah. I'm in favor of Luton saving this dude, so I'm not going to react other
they
than...
They don't say anything to Varg.
You don't say anything?
Well, you can now if you want to.
I'm definitely going to say something to Varg.
Well, Luton said when she cast the spell, we still need him. We still needed him.
Yeah. Varg, I agree. This scamp must perish, but I do not believe now is the time. We can still use him.
We must have patience, my friend.
There we go.
We can't trust him. This is a mistake.
So I want to roll a diplomacy check with Varg.
You can't.
Dang. He's a PC. You gotta
really. Roll one on
you have to actually be diplomatic with him right now.
Varg, let's be diplomatic. We haven't gotten all the information we need from this felonious knave. Let's take our time.
We've tried diplomacy. It failed us.
Varg,
I don't want to hear it.
Varg?
No?
He was giving us information.
Don't dad talk me.
Amazing.
I think someone has hit puberty.
Yeah, listen.
I'm going to my room.
So Kairos pulls out his flask of friendliness, whatever that thing is called.
Fellowship.
The flask of fellowship.
Varg, would you like a leche?
Universally recognized drink.
It is a valid question. And if you're handing them out, I mean...
The drink of peace, not milk, not to be confused with milk.
Not right? Milk. Leche.
Leche.
I take my hood off and just start giving you kitty eyes.
De leche?
Do you want some award-winning leche?
Leche.
Oh, man.
The chin is back.
Danairu, here's one for you.
Oh, thank you very much.
Varg slowly shakes his head, maybe partially out of embarrassment for jumping the gun like that with his clan, but also just in disbelief and frustration that the three of you aren't really sharing his understanding of the matter, his feelings. So he shakes his head and starts walking down to the next level to Mugland.
Kairos follows closely behind him and takes one of the shish quills off his back and starts scratching Varg behind his ear.
Here you go, big guy.
He's scratching you with a back hair.
You're welcome.
It's disturbing.
I agree, Varg, that we cannot trust him, but I think we might have been hasty in making that decision. He can be of use to us still.
I think we're being hasty in trusting him now.
Well, we don't have to trust him, and I think you have got me convinced of that more. Remembering everything that he has done, and everything he probably is still planning to do, he really does not care about anyone here but himself.
Let's use him to draw out these ghosts and solve our main problem.
Ooh, daddy likey that.
Daddy likey that? Okay.
Just never say that again.
Yeah, please don't.
Don't say it every day. Twice on Tuesdays.
Fine. I yield. Have it your way.
Using him as bait might be a great idea, though.
Yes. Let's use him as bait, and then you can have your way with him.
That's dark.
That's Kairos.
Medieval baby.
Who else but Kairos? We're all down there with him.
All right.
Okay.
Please arrange yourselves on this deck. There's only a 10-foot wide deck of each of these levels of the Hellfallen Cliffs where the homes are cut into the cliffside.
Let's surround him.
Mugland is at the edge of the cliff still recovering from this incident, and you guys can position yourselves as you'd like to, you know, sort of be surrounded by him. And also, it's getting dark. Mm. The sun has set, and the day has...
And these ghosts come out at dusk. He said, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's what I remember, too.
Yeah.
You guys go up to Mugland, and his demeanor drops a little bit, and he's just like, what is it that you want? You've done enough. You've taken everything from me, and then you tried to kill me.
There may have been a difference of opinion on that, but right now we want to get to the bottom of this ghost thing.
Well, the corporate you tried to kill me.
The corporate you did.
Are you saying that Varg is an independent actor? I believe he represents the whole of the Shumfollow Five.
Well, you're still alive, aren't you?
Also, the corporate you saved you. The corporate I saved you. The corporate eyebrow.
So you're welcome.
Someone, anyone, please. The corporate eyebrow, come on. Okay, whatever. All my wrestling fans.
Well, unfortunately, we've come to a point where I know I need your help. I know that it's going to happen again tonight. See? I've barely escaped with my life for the last 3 days in a row. And now, despite my instincts and my best efforts, I must rely on you, Five, to protect me.
Yes, to protect you. Why are these ghosts after you? Why are they bothering you specifically?
Huh, well, the last 3 nights in a row, when I've been on my way home in the evening, a cloud of smog settles all around me, forcing me to cough, choking my lungs, blocking my vision. I saw shapes floating through the smoke. Well, I thought they were corpses. I heard a deep, booming laughter and a voice calling my name. Ambrose Mugland.
That was great.
I saw a floating figure like a wraith made from smoke approaching me. Luckily, I was able to use some of my tricks and escape, but I hear threats every time. I'll be back for you, it says. I'll be back for you. Chasing me endlessly. I know it's linked to Angelique Lovelace. I know she's trying to get rid of me.
Because you are a loose end?
Exactly.
This sounds like one of the dude
it does, dude. It sounds like the guy from Geb.
Yeah. Forget his name. Jeremiah?
Parsis.
Was Parsis from the south? From Geb?
Yep.
So it seems like maybe it was Parsis. But you did not see what this, other than looking like a smoke wraith.
All I can say is that I could barely make out a figure floating in the smog.
Mm.
Have you ever heard the name Parsis?
It was a hard P.
Yes, that was one of Lovelace's contacts, the one from Geb.
What you're describing sounds like a representation of his power.
What's his power?
Necromancy.
Ah, see? Perhaps you're right.
We will be here when he arrives tonight, and when we're done with him, we will deal with you.
Hmm. We'll see about that then, I suppose. And you guys decide to wait with Muglin until the evening?
Yes. Yep. So, if we're in exploration-ish?
No, you're in downtime mode.
Downtime. So I can't avoid notice in downtime? So I can roll initiative with my stealth?
When it comes time to roll initiative, if you are avoiding notice, you can use your stealth.
Perfect. That's what I would like to do. I would like to not be obviously waiting with Muglin. I'd like to be kind of hiding.
Okay.
A little bit, if I can. Like, maybe in the doorway of his apartment or something.
Sure.
But we're rolling now for initiative.
No.
Okay.
I said before it's getting a little dark. It's not quite, sundown yet, so you guys expect you have a couple of hours.
Okay.
Is there anything that you want to do to prep before going into this moment with whatever these things are? Muglin returns to Lysirius's apartment.
They appear right here where we're standing.
We don't know yet.
I mean,
he gets
the previous night,
it.
He said
that they chase him down wherever he is. They find him.
And was he here last night?
No, he's been in a different spot each time, but they always go to him. So it kind of doesn't matter where he is.
So we should
follow
him
around him.
Yeah, let's go with him.
He's just not going to leave the apartment.
So Kairos goes into the apartment with him and asks a question.
Muglin.
Yeah.
What have you tried to do in defending yourself against these apparitions?
Defending myself against smoke, yeah? Nothing. Because what could I do? I don't mean to sound smarmy, but I'm smarmy. What do you want from me?
Trying to understand what we might be up against.
Roll a religion check based on his description.
That's a good question.
Roll a religion check. Arcana?
Religion.
Would rolling an occultism check at all be helpful?
Nope.
Okay.
I know. Hold on. We're going back to that old argument, that old chestnut? No. Undead have nothing to do with the occult. The
you
end.
Never know.
You never know.
I got a 6.
That's really bad.
Does anyone else want to roll a religion check? You got a 6 on the die and then a total
of
some
odd? No, I
got
a total of 6.
Oh, you're not trained in religion at all. Okay.
I have a whopping +0 and I'm untrained.
I can roll.
I got a natty 20.
Natty 20?
Yeah.
For a total of?
30.
Nice.
30. That's a critical success.
Yes, it is.
Awesome. Somehow, some way, in all of his travels between the Mwangi and the Mana Wastes, Varg has heard tale of a creature like this referred to as a smog wraith. You would know that this wraith is an undead creature. It's a wraith, which has a few different extra horrifying effects, like the ability to fly and a significant resistance to damage of all types.
Gross.
Man.
Now, we'll have to roll another check once you see it in order to actually do a recall knowledge, mechanical thing.
Yeah.
But you know that this is a smog wraith.
Okay.
Based on what Muglin has told you. So you know enough. Well, you know a little bit. It's undead.
Okay.
It can fly. It is incorporeal.
Varg shares this information with the group.
Actually, that is kind of what you would get from a recall knowledge anyway. So.
Hmm.
Kairos asks,
when we see it, how do we kill it?
I've never fought one before. I've only heard tales of it. From what I know, what I can recall, it's immune to most attacks.
Or resistant, at least.
With that religion check, too, I think that it's safe to say that Varg would know what it's resistant to.
I agree.
Yeah. Everything, except for force damage, ghost touch.
Dang it! Of course.
As soon as you said Wraith, I was like, I'm not bringing up ghost touch.
Man.
Or spirit or vitality damage.
As a reminder, Thunder Buddies, I just took the ghost touch rune off of Kinfluencer. So
force is like magic missile, and it has damage type force.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Telekinetic projectile, I think, is a force. Oh, that might be bludgeoning, but it's just a type of damage that doesn't have an element.
And vitality damage, that's the one where you heal it.
Yes,
and vitality, it has the opposite effect. Okay.
Vitality damage is using heal magic as a damage attack, and spirit damage is like Divine Lance does spirit damage, right?
Yes.
It's double resistant versus non-magical types of damage. So if you did just a straight bludgeoning weapon, it would have a doubled resistance against it. It would have to have some sort of magical property to even begin to damage it. A very formidable thing. Any other things you'd like to do with your time here as you figure out how you're going to protect Mugland?
Are there any spells that we can set up in advance to aid us?
I've got Divine Lance on deck, but I only have one.
There's some, you guys have some like 10-minute duration to cast stuff. I know that Duval does. He's got that, what's it called?
Got Spiritual Guardian.
Yeah, there's, you have like a spell that you can buff yourself for the day.
I don't know that I have very many or any. Well, I got Heroism.
What's the duration on Heroism?
It's only 10 minutes.
It lasts for 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be something you could cast before this encounter.
Right before Dusky.
That would last, since you know it's coming.
Right. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. I actually have two castings of it.
Anything with a 10-minute duration, you can cast before.
Problem is it's a level 3 spell, and I'll be taking away my ability to cast haste and slow, but it might be worth it. So I'll cast Heroism on Varg.
All right. That's a spell modifier.
Yeah, so Varg, that's going to give you a +1 status bonus to attack rolls, perception checks, saving throws, and skill checks. That's for an entire 10 minutes.
Nice.
Not even just like once, just the whole 10 minutes. And then I'll cast it again on myself. I'm going to be selfish.
Varg remembers that he accidentally turned off the ghost touch rune in his axe, so he quickly turns it back on.
Oh, that's not true at all. It takes a whole day to do that.
Kairos goes down to where he can reach a flask into the water and then cast a spell on it to create holy water.
What spell is that? Making crap up, boy over there.
It is the water grabbing.
Oh, water grabbing. Yeah, sure.
I don't know how to do that.
You could grab water with prestidigitation, but
he casts a spell on it to make it holy. Just
go buy some holy water.
Go away with that. I'm sick of it. 96 episodes making stuff up that doesn't exist. Holy water is blessed by a benevolent deity. It costs 3 gold. You can purchase some from the Temple of Bri if you need to.
Yeah.
How far is that?
Right here in town.
You can make it there and back within 2 hours.
All right. I want to do that.
Okay.
Make haste.
Holy water.
But when you don't know how to do something and you just make it up, that's infuriating because I do know how to do it.
Well, don't be infuriated. I'm hilarious and
holy
it's funny.
Holy water.
It's not.
When you've got a ghost that you need to fight.
This episode is brought to you by Holy Water.
Sprinkle that water right.
Sprinkle it on.
Brought to you by
Like Dio. I don't have enough to do. I have to then also figure out
if I'm lying or not.
Whether or not you're lying.
I went down to Breeg.
Temple of Breeg.
Temple of Breeg.
Bree. Bri.
Bree. Bri.
Temple of Bri, and I got 4 flasks of holy water. Holy water.
Okay.
12 gold.
That's some holy water.
Got a bundle.
All right.
So why are you buying that?
Getting ready to use Holy Cascade.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I knew all about that. 66.
I believe you.
Positive damage.
The bludgeoning damage will go through.
It'll go through, but
it's magical.
Okay.
So the key on the resistance was that if it's non-magical, then it gets double resistance. But since you're casting a spell, that makes it magical. There you go. Does anybody want to do anything else? And do you want to position yourselves in a different format for when these things show up? Because you know they're going to come and attack Mugland.
Darnayru wants to hide. Well, first off, Mugland, is there anything in this front room that I need to be worried about?
That's my bedroom.
Can I hide in there when these things come to attack you so I can spring a trap?
Sure.
Kairos wants to be at the front door down the hall.
Varg will stay where he's at.
So Shoma Lyserius's pad, as we go in the door, immediately to your right after you enter the door is a bedroom that is 2 wide by 3 tall. This was the room where the trap mechanism for the repeating crossbow that was in the ceiling was hidden. Further into the apartment, down this hallway that is 6 squares long, is a 3 wide by 5 tall kitchen area. It's like a studio apartment. Mugland is currently in the top left corner, seated at a table in that kitchen area. So Varg is in the kitchen with him. Kairos is right at the door, leading out onto the balcony. Darnayru is in the bedroom, and Luton and Kal-El, is that where they're going
to
be?
Did they come from the water and try to go inside the apartment?
They will come from outside somewhere.
Well, he kept pointing out towards the water. He said, they come from there.
That's right.
I'm just not sure I want to be inside, especially with Kal-El.
Yeah, that's a lot of cat.
He's large. This is a tiny apartment.
He can squeeze down the hallway.
Every movement is a squeeze. That's awesome.
But then I might be fighting them by myself outside.
That is also maybe a possibility. That would not be ideal for you.
It would be terrible if we got on their hit list.
Who says that we're not and he's not bait?
I mean, this could be... Well, that's something I hadn't considered. Thanks for putting more anxiety in my heart.
I think Luton's going to stay outside the door. Right outside the door.
Okay. The day fades into dusk. And as if almost on cue, you look out across the water at the Tin Wound Hydro Forge and you see belching cloud of smoke appear out of the top of the thing. And these clouds appear. And this mist starts rolling in towards directly at you. Whatever it is, it knows where to go. It starts coming across the water and it gets, you know, a couple hundred feet away from the Hellfallen Cliffs. And you can see it split into two separate like beams of smoke, and they coalesce and land directly on the balcony, which is a 10-foot wide space.
Oh no.
And there you see landing on the dock right next to everybody.
Oh gosh.
Are these two clouded figures, but they have a 30-foot diameter cloud that accompanies them.
That's not good.
Which you guys can't see.
I forgot he said he couldn't really breathe in it.
And this, I will put it on the map. And it conceals everything. You're concealed from each other. You don't get a good clear view of whatever these creatures are, as this thick cloud of dark smoke fills the area right outside Shoma Lysirius's apartment. Now I need you to roll for initiative.
Oh, man.
Varg Kinbiter.
27 total.
Kairos.
34 total.
That's a good initiative. Luton.
21 total.
And Darnayru.
34 as well.
Okay. Good initiatives. Darnayru will go first and will start off combat. There you are.
Do I know that they're out there?
Yeah, because your teammates would tell you, there's fog and smoke rolling in. I can't see anything. Something's here.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
Darnayru, they're here.
There we go.
Okay. Darnayru is going to 5, 10, 15, 20. It takes me one move action to get right up in the grill of one of these.
As you come through the door?
Yeah, and which puts me...
Was the door open?
My door was always cracked, so I can see out the door.
Okay, so you need to spend an interact action to open the door.
Boot it open.
Okay, and the front door.
The front door's closed?
Wasn't it? Isn't that what...
I thought... I don't know. Kairos, was the front door open or closed?
We didn't talk about it. Say it's open.
No, it was closed. It's going to take you an interact action.
Well, then that ruins my entire turn. Because I would basically... I can't stop in the same square Kairos is in. Kairos, you're a 34?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? I will defer to you.
Oh, okay.
And I will go after you.
All right.
I'm not moving, so... Here's what we're going to do. We're going to cast Spiritual Guardian... And we're going to put this spiritual guardian in the protect stance. The guardian protects a creature of your choice. Each time the chosen creature would take damage, the guardian is adjacent to it. The guardian takes the first 10 damage instead of the ally.
Oh, like a protector tree.
Like a protector tree.
That's cool.
And we're going to say...
Knight of Nethys, come.
And the Knight of Nethys will go to where... Not Shoma.
Muglin?
Muglin is.
Oh, you're protecting Muglin with that
thing?
Yeah, because we got info we need to get from him. And we haven't gotten it yet, and that is a two-action spell, and I'm going to move into Arcane Cascade.
You can't do that yet, because you haven't used Spell Strike.
Oh, it always confuses me. I hate that. It confuses me.
And now they're laughing at you.
I know.
Can you play that seven more times for me, please?
Here's why I'm confused. It says requirements. You used your most recent action this turn to cast a spell or make a spell strike.
Or make a spell strike.
Oh, so you're right. No, I'm very sorry. You can go into Arcane Cascade stance because you cast a spell.
Okay.
You're right.
So, Arcane Cascade, and that's my turn.
I take it back. That was Spiritual Guardian, correct?
That was Spiritual Guardian. Yeah, in the Protect stance, as opposed to doing the business.
The business stance.
Yeah, the business. Darnayru is going to... GM, how would you like me to do this? I'm going to... I want to open my door, go up and open the front door, but I can't end my turn in his square. So what does that do?
You don't want to be outside is what you're telling me?
Not unless I can get all the way to the creature with an extra action, so no. And two actions open two doors and a move action, so I would not like to be outside.
You don't want to end your turn next to the creature?
Correct.
Then you're behind Kairos.
But I can still open the door?
Yeah, because okay. You can move up, open the door through his space,
and
reach step back.
Underneath his arm. And so I open my door, go in the hallway, and run up to the door, and I open up the front door and then stand right behind Kairos.
That tickles.
Teehee.
Because his arm.
Get that was all three of my actions, and now I'm in the little bit of the smog.
That brings us to Varg Kinbiter.
Door is wide open for you, brother.
Wide open spaces.
I think Varg is going to delay.
Varg delays. That brings us to these creatures. It is Smogwraith 2's turn, and it is right next to Kal-El. It is also able to strike Luton from where it's at, because she is in the square adjacent to it, and it has this big cloud that it has emanating from its body. I need Darnayru and Kairos to both roll a fortitude save.
Bruh, I got all the fortitude, bruh.
I believe it.
I'm fortitude-y. Not this time.
What did you get?
20 total.
All right. Darnayru?
I got a 29 total.
29. So Darnayru passes and Kairos fails. You guys are affected by the noxious smog that is coming off of the Smogwraiths.
I have rogue resilience, so successes on fort saves are crit successes.
Oh, well,
instead.
Then it's a crit success. You're unaffected by this.
Is this radical. Is this a harmful spell that's being...
No, it's an aura.
Okay.
So Kairos is... sickened one and slowed one until Whoa. You leave the cloud.
Whoa, that's terrible.
And this one that is next to Kal-El and Luton, it is that's the one who's up, and it's going to decide what to do. Luton, odds or evens?
Odds.
Odds I'll attack Luton. I rolled an 8, so I'm attacking Kal-El. Ooh. 31 to hit Kal-El.
Do you have to Ouch. Roll a flat check to hit something concealed?
Yes, a DC 5 flat check.
So are we all concealed because we're in the smoke?
Yes, unless there is a different type of precise sense you have that overrides that.
Overrides the vision?
Yeah. 24 poison damage to Kal-El.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm going to strike again. A 27 to hit.
Hits.
Oh man, a 1 and a 2.
That's
really bad.
We like that.
13. Poison damage to Kal-El. And a third strike on Kal-El. 1, 2, 3. 25 to hit Kal-El.
That's a miss.
Okay, yeah. So Kal-El tanks the last hit. Does Varg want to go next?
Yes, Varg would like to go next.
Okay, then it is Varg's turn.
Okay, Varg will enter a rage and then draw Kinflincer and end his turn.
You have one more action.
I know.
Okay, and Varg is outside of the aura of... noxious smog. That is the other Smogwraith's turn, and since Kal-El took all the heat on the last turn, it's time for Luton to take the heat.
Are you going to cut Muglin's head off?
No.
No one's in there to stop him.
That's true.
He's like, shing, and just pins him to the wall.
The first attack with the Smogwraith is a 32 to hit Luton.
That hits.
18 poison damage to Luton. A second strike. Oh, that's not good. 22 to hit. That's a miss.
That's a miss.
Third strike on Luton is a 20 to hit.
Nice.
Your little fairy tank is out there tanking attacks, and that brings us to Luton's turn. The end of round one.
Luton is going to cast her fourth level heal spell.
Okay. Three action cast. Okay.
30-foot emanation.
Oh, yeah, that hits everybody for sure.
Including my cat.
Absolutely.
That's true.
So I believe
so
I need
have to
make
do a,
some saves, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is for it. If the target is undead, you deal the amount of vitality damage and it gets a basic fortitude save.
Okay, fortitude save. Two fortitude saves. 33 on number one and 27 on number two.
It's 27.
Is the DC?
It's the DC.
Okay, so one, they both just passed.
So they take half damage.
Half?
Yeah.
This is vitality damage, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So 4d8, 20 exactly.
All right, so
nice.
You heal 20 on Kal-El, you heal 20 on yourself, and then each of these creatures would take 10 damage. You notice that there is no damage. Or you cannot, none that you can see.
I don't like that. At all.
And I need Luton and Kal-El to roll a fortitude save.
Hold on.
Okay.
That we determined that that was one of the only things that would do damage on these?
You know what? You're absolutely right. And they do take 10 damage.
Oh, that's what I was totally wondering.
Okay. No, I forgot about how their resistance works for a minute. That's my bad.
Fortitude saves?
Yes, as they both take 10 damage.
Natural 20 for Kal-El, so that's 36.
Yeah, that's a critical success. There's nothing wrong with Kal-El.
There's nothing wrong with you, kitty.
Meow.
Only 8 for Luton, so 25.
Luton.
Total.
Passes.
Whoa.
Oh.
Woo.
I think. Let me double check.
Oh, no.
It's got to be a pass.
You can't give us hope.
I know,
and
I know.
And then take it away.
He loves that.
No, I don't. No, 25 is a pass.
Nice.
Yes.
I was right. So you are sickened one on a successful save.
And both. Slowed one?
Nope, just sickened just one. Okay. Normal sickened one.
Okay.
The whole just while later. In the cloud thing does not apply because you passed your save. And nothing happens to Kal-El. And we can't forget Kal-El's bonus action,
oh, yeah.
Which I believe would be to chomp at this wraith that's right next to it.
Nom, 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 nom.
Kal-El's attacks are magical. We know this already as part of his savage companion upgrade.
Chomp is a jaw.
Chomp is a jaw. Chomp is a jaw.
That's a character.
It's a great goblin name.
Yeah.
28
to hit is a hit.
Yeah.
So 2d6 plus 8.
Yep.
15 total.
All right. So Kal-El's bite is able to get some purchase on this creature.
Nice.
That brings us to the end of round one.
So his bite did damage?
It did damage. You could see Kal-El tear away.
That's piercing damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember okay. They're resistant to all non-magical,
not immune,
but they're not immune.
Yeah.
And next round begins with Kairos Duvalo.
Okay, Kairos is going to take a step out the door.
Remember, you only have two actions because you're slowed.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so never mind. That changes some things.
You can see both of them from there, though.
They are concealed to you.
Well, but
I need a DC5 flat check for Kal-El's attack.
Yeah.
Just roll a d20.
Pray it's over a 5.
5 and up.
7.
Okay. We're good.
You're making it a little close.
Yeah.
Still counts.
It does count.
So Kairos is going to cast Holy Cascade.
Okay.
It's going to be problematic. My friends are out there, but I don't know what else to do.
What does it do?
It's a 2-action cast.
It's a 2-action cast, and what it does is within 500 feet in a 20-foot burst, you call upon sacred energy to amplify a vial of holy water. I have 4. Tossing it at an incredible distance, it explodes in an enormous burst that deals 3d6 bludgeoning damage to creatures in the area. I just figured out something. I can throw it past them, right? Can it suspend in the air?
No, it has to hit something to explode.
But okay, we're healed up.
You could throw it to the left and only hit one of them.
To the left.
Or you can throw it in such a way that it only hits Luton and not.
You can hit me. Kal-El. I'm full health.
Okay, let's go for it.
Yeah.
The water deals an additional 6d6 positive damage to undead and 66 good damage to fiends.
Oh, so the 66 doesn't hurt her.
Yeah, it does.
No, read that again.
Or is it just to undead?
Yeah, it says.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, perfect.
Either undead or fiends is the 66.
Well, Luton is a fiend. Turns out secret. Secret backstory reveal. No, she's not.
So we're going to go with this.
Why am I so contrarian today?
I don't know.
Knock that off.
That would actually be kind of a fun idea.
Isn't zombie Luton canon?
Zombie Luton? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She technically is undead.
So here's a 3d6.
Well done. What's the radius on the burst of this thing?
20 feet.
20 feet. Okay. So you throw it just to the left of the first smog giant, which gets both of them, not Kal-El, does get Luton.
But Luton only gets the 3d6, not the 66.
Is it a 20-foot burst?
20-foot burst.
That would also hit you in order to hit them.
Let's cut.
Oh, you can move it up here. Never mind.
Yeah, he could barely miss it.
Yep, you're good.
So I'm rolling 96 total.
Roll the 3d6 first.
Yeah, because they're separate damage types.
This can be 8.
Can you roll total? Better than that?
8 total. So Luton takes 8 damage.
Ow.
8 total. Here's the 66.
The smog wraiths are unaffected.
No bludgeoning gets through at all, huh?
Not that much. 8.
It's not enough. So 10 and over, maybe.
28.
28 all goes through because that's holy damage.
Yeah.
Holy damage.
So I'm going to remove a vial of holy water.
I'm going to put a challenge out to you guys. When the word holy is said, you do not need to invoke Dio.
I have to.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to just, it's just a challenge. You don't have to accept it.
Just name the episode Dio.
Weak to Dio is what I'm going
to
call
weak
it.
Weak to Dio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I now have 3 vials of holy water.
All right. And that brings us to Darniru.
Darniru.
Oh,
no.
Darniru is going to definitely plan this ahead of time.
I'm sure you did. With complete confidence, I believe you did.
I would like to go out the door,
hang
a left on 2-1 and Lewis, and then try to tumble behind the left Wraith. I don't know how that's going to work with the concealment thing.
Okay.
So you just walk me through
it. Is
whatever
that one
I
action?
Do.
Move action for the distance?
Yeah, it would be one move action for the distance with the attempt to...
Roll an acrobatics check against my reflex DC.
32.
That is a success.
Sweet. And I will move to the left of that Wraith, which puts him off guard against me. That's
indeed
one move action, and I would like to swing at him.
Roll a DC 5 flat check.
Rolling that flat check first. 14.
That is good. Your swing, you are confident.
And I'm attacking with my flisser. And I did a crappy roll. 24 to hit.
That is a miss.
Dang it.
You have one action left.
Action, and I would have used this different way. I'm going to do a recall knowledge on this.
Okay.
At a plus one.
To religion?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. It's only the one because, skill you don't
only
have.
Only because I have heroism. And I almost took it on this last level up, but I was like, darn, I really
would
do that.
That would mean he'd have every skill.
Yeah.
He's super obnoxious.
12. That's a fail, isn't it?
That is a failure.
Okay. Well, there's my exciting turn.
I have good news. Roll a fortitude save.
Even though I've critically succeeded, is it every time?
You're not immune. It's any time you end your turn.
I only rolled a 20.
Yes. Sorry, I need you both to roll.
A fortitude save.
A fortitude. Well, you know what? Now, here I am being contrarian all day. My players are going to throw me off a cliff.
What?
I need to make sure that if you critically succeed, you're not immune.
I would rather not keep the roll I just rolled, so I'd love to be immune.
No, sorry.
Dang it.
You have to roll every time you end your turn in the aura.
Okay.
There's no immune for an hour or anything like that.
17 total.
So. I only rolled a 20, so they're both failures.
Both failures, which means that you're both
slowed.
Sickened. Duval is sickened 2 and slowed 2 because you're... conditions increased by 1.
Wait, is it a duration? Because his slow should have ended at the end of his last turn.
As long as you're in the aura.
Oh, it doesn't. Oh, man.
But the you know what? I'm going to say the...
Because the rules of slowed say that they go down at
the
end
of
your
turn. Yes,
yeah.
But this has an augmented ability.
Yeah.
And it does not go down at the end of your turn. It persists when you fail as long as you're within the cloud.
Gotcha.
As you leave the cloud, changes the story. But yeah, Kairos is slowed too.
So do I only have one move action now?
You have one action.
That, okay, yeah,
period. And Darniru is sickened 1, slowed 1.
Got it.
And knowing that it lasts until you leave the cloud is some meta information that I gave you. It is Wraith number 2's turn. He's got a choice between Kal-El and Luton again. Odds or evens?
Odds.
Odds I attack Luton. 14 on the die. More strikes at Kal-El. 32 to hit Kal-El.
Dang.
And that does 16 poison damage. Second strike on Kal-El is a miss. Third strike on Kal-El, natty 20.
Oh, good lord.
For 38 poison damage.
Oh, my gosh.
With a natural 20. Where's Kal-El sitting on hit points?
14.
All right, Varg. Hanging out with Mugland. It's your turn.
Yeah, Varg expected these things to come straight for Mugland, not like waste time with us. So I was trying to position myself in between.
Oh, that's why he's kind of just hanging out, doing nothing.
Nothing's happening, so Varg is going to spend 2 actions to run outside and place himself on the opposite side of Wraith 1, just kind of sandwich.
Oh, yeah, you're flanking with everybody now.
Yep, double flank.
Yeah, it's a Varg sandwich.
Varg is between 2 smog wraiths.
And now goes Kal-El, Wraith, Varg, Wraith. Darniru.
Yes, from right to left.
Yeah.
From the sea to the flag, not from the flag to the sea, as we all learned in school, left to right.
I was definitely taught that growing up.
Yeah, I didn't go to nautical school.
I don't know why they told us that.
And
it's
then
an East Coast thing, I guess, because the sea is on the left here in Washington.
Right.
For my last action, I will attack.
Okay.
Influencer.
Which one of these are you attacking?
The one... which one has taken damage so far?
They both have taken damage.
They both have. Okay, so I'll attack at the one next to Kal-El.
Okay.
Rolled rather poorly, 25 total.
That is a miss.
Oh,
well, and I need you to roll a fortitude save.
You know what? That's okay, because it's my best save.
Sure is. And you have that resolve trait.
I do. 33.
That's a critical success for Varg.
Nice.
Unaffected. And that brings us to the other Smogwraith, who has three options between Dar Nairu, Varg, and Luton. Whatever shall I do? I will pull out a d6 on a roll of a 1 or a 2. It's Dar Nairu, 3 or a 4 is Varg, and a 5 or a 6 is Luton. I rolled a 5, attacking Luton.
Dang, you just can't get a break.
Oh, she's getting a break today, because I roll a 25 on my first strike.
That's the best one to get a crap roll on.
Second strike is a 32 to hit.
That's a hit.
Oh, man. You're always lucky in some fashion. 14 poison damage. barely enough damage to count as damage on these super high-level characters. And my third strike against Luton is a whopping 17.
Yeah.
That's a miss.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that's not going to hit. No. Check your notes, please. All right. It is Luton's turn.
Luton is going to use all her actions to swift mount Kal-El and move out of the noxious cloud to the left.
Alrighty. You are both out of the...
That was all three actions?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Because you were not directly next to Kal-El, so you had to move once, and then you're using two of Kal-El's movement speeds.
Yeah, Luton just want... First of all, she's worried her cat's going to die because he's down to 14 hit points. Ooh. And also, she would like to use some range spells and be out of that cloud.
You are no longer sickened as you take the end of your turn and the sickened condition fades. Kal-El was fine, and that is the end of your turn. That brings us to the end of round two and the end of this week's episode of the Dice of Evil podcast. Man, I know.
That one snuck up on me.
Oh, sure man.
They always come out of nowhere for me, too.
I still don't know what I'm going to do.
I go and I check the timer, and I'm like, whoa, it's been an hour and 40 minutes. Trim down.
That was fun.
Well, we'll see you next week, Thunder Buddies.
Bye.
Bye, nerds.
Figure out about Smogwraiths, I guess.
Schmauk.
Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc. used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Dice of Thunder and the Dice of Thunder podcast is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit paizo.com.